Well, a man was driving through the countryside when he saw a Baptist pastor, a Catholic priest, and a Jewish rabbi standing on the side of the road fishing in the river. Next to these men was a sign that read, "Turn around, the end is near." Well, the motorists didn't like to be preached to, so as he went by, he rolled down his window and he yelled out at these three clergymen, "Mind your own business, you religious nuts." Well, a few seconds later, the three fishermen heard tires screech and then a splash. And the rabbi turned to the other two and said, "I told you we should have just written bridge out." Well, these three clergymen had a little bit of difficulty with clarity of their message. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the message is very clear. Now, many people might not like the message at all. They might find it offensive. They may choose to ignore the message of Jesus Christ, but the message itself is without flaw. Well, we're journeying, as I said, through the book of Acts, and we're looking at when the church was young. We saw 2 weeks ago the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Jerusalem was filled with people from many nations. They were there celebrating in Jerusalem Pentecost. And in God's perfect timing, the 120 followers of Jesus Christ, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, began to tell about the mighty works of God. And one way that was done was that on that day, these 120 followers mysteriously began to speak in foreign languages concerning the presence, the work of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this week we're going to pick up from where we left off there, and we're going to look at the message from the Holy Spirit. Some who were listening on that day, who heard those followers tell of the mighty works of God, some wanted to know more about these works of God. But there were others who called the followers of Jesus Christ on that day just a bunch of drunks. And as I said, to some, just the name of Jesus is offensive in itself. We're in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and beginning this morning with verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what we uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" Well, 50 days earlier, 50 days from this event, we had Peter as a fearful, trembling individual. He denied 50 days earlier, even knowing Jesus Christ, in front of all things, a servant girl. And now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter stood there strong before thousands and told about Jesus Christ. Oh, he knew there were some in the crowd who had interest in learning more. He also knew that some were offended in calling them drunks. Peter explained that none of them were drunk. He said, "It's only 9 a.m. in the morning." 9 a.m. was a time of Jewish prayer, not a time to drink wine. And Peter clarified that this crowd was witnessing a prophecy that was told many years before through the prophet Joel. In that prophecy, Joel used the term last days. Last days. Remember that the Spirit came on Pentecost, or as we called it also 2 weeks ago in the Hebrew title, Feast of Shavuot. Why is that important here? Why is it important to remember that? The Feast of Shavuot celebrated the harvest of the first fruits of their crops. But on this day for the church, it was a different first fruits. It was the first church members as the Holy Spirit came and entered their lives. Well, after the Feast of Shavuot, the typical Jew would then head home, and it was the start of the summer months. And during those summer months was when the regular harvest came in. They celebrated the first fruits, the first part of the harvest, but they would go home, and then it's the time of regular harvest during the summer. The Jewish word actually for harvest is the word kayitz, which also means summer. It means harvest and it means summer. For the church, after the day of Pentecost, after that Feast of Shavuot, the original one, we have entered as a church into a spiritual time period that's our own kayitz, our own summer. We're in a time of church history that is the harvest time. Harvest for the souls of humans. When Jesus said on that day, when he was teaching his disciples and he said, "The fields are white unto harvest," he was saying, "The fields are white unto summer, white unto kayitz." The summer is that period of time that started the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And it ends on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Started on Shavuot, on Pentecost. And will be completed in what you could consider the spiritual fall. The spiritual fall, the time when the harvest is complete of all who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You and I as a church live in a period of kayitz, in a period of last days of harvest. And one day fall will arrive. I'm not talking about September, October, November. I'm talking about the end of the church period when the church will be complete and the harvest is over. Peter used Joel as a jumping off point here to proclaim the message that came from the Holy Spirit. And what is that message? Well, the first thought is that Jesus is for all. He reminded them what God proclaimed centuries earlier through Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. In other words, Jesus crosses all genders. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Men and women will be given the strength and the ability to tell the message given by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus also crosses all ages. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, this message is for all ages. And I think when it comes to this time, as we are in this summer, this kayitz of the church, and as we move closer and closer to the fall, whenever the full harvest of the church is complete, that we really need to pay close attention to what's going on in the Middle East, where Christianity is banned, where to have a Bible in some areas is illegal, worthy of death. Because stories are coming out through missionaries about Muslims having visions, having dreams of Jesus Christ. And these visions, these dreams are so strong, they're so real, that they're actually turning to Jesus, even if it means their own death, or even if it means the complete loss of their own family. The Bible may be banned, But God is being proclaimed through visions and dreams of his Son to both young and old alike. But Jesus crosses all status also. Even on my male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. The message from the Holy Spirit is for the rich, yes, for the middle class, yes, and for the poor, because Jesus is for all. But pick back up with Peter's sermon here, verse 22. It said, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." We also have that Jesus is the plan. He is the plan. What is the job description of the Holy Spirit? What is the position description of the Holy Spirit? To point us to Jesus Christ. To point us to Christ. God the Spirit points us to God the Son. Why? So that God the Father will be glorified. It's the reason in the opening part of our vision for Calvary Baptist that we start with glorifying God. Because ultimately that is what it's about, glorifying God, and then it's loving people and transforming lives. Ultimately, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Son together is to point toward glorifying the Father. Jesus was not some fallback position that the Father had. He was the plan even back in with Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. God used the nation called Israel to unveil what he had up his sleeve. God used the nation of Israel to reach out to the entire world. And then when Jesus came, he was God's grand unveiling of his plan. Jesus was the method to reach the world. And remember, as Peter is standing there, speaking to these people, it's only been 50 days since Jesus' death. 50 days. These people knew about Jesus, most of them at least knew about Jesus or at least heard about Jesus. And Peter proclaimed, why did God send his Holy Spirit on our lives this day? Why did this occur? He said, you remember that man, Jesus? Remember him? Oh, he did great miracles in your sight. He did great things in front of you. He healed people. Some of you even had the privilege of seeing someone that had been brought back alive because of Jesus. He said, you though helped to deliver him over to the authorities. You helped to have him killed on a Roman cross. And he said, guess what? He ain't dead anymore. He rose from the dead. Death had no power over him. He said, this was all God's plan. Look at verse 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucify. Well, all the Jews knew the promise of the Messiah, the promise of a Christ that would come. They knew that this Messiah would come through the line of David. To most Jews, David was the greatest king that Israel had, and they longed for those days of David. They longed for the victories that occurred during the time of David. And Peter's saying, even in David's greatness, he died. He was buried. He didn't rise from the dead. But even David spoke of one to come, one who was going to be greater than himself. And so Peter explained then that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Peter said, Jesus is the one David spoke about. Peter said, Jesus is the one who is of the line of David. Peter said, Jesus rose from the dead unlike David. He was saying, you want to know the magnitude of Jesus over David? He said, after Jesus rose from the dead, he went back to his throne next to the Father. Then the promise of the Father made through Jesus was kept. The Holy Spirit was sent to live and dwell within us. And he said, it's the reason why you hear of the marvels of God, the wonderful works of God on this day called Pentecost. Look at our last verses. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The Holy Spirit worked in the lives of many of those who were present that day. After they heard Peter, they said to him, they said to the other disciples, well, what do we do? What do we do now? Their hearts were being convicted, and their minds were ready for the final piece of the message from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the salvation. He is the salvation. The final part of this message is that the salvation that comes through Jesus is being proclaimed. And it was proclaimed by Peter in four parts. First, salvation is obtained through repentance. Repentance is the recognition, yes, that I am a sinner. Repentance is the recognition that, yes, I am separated from God because of my sins. Repentance is the recognition that God is right and I am wrong. And I think we have a hard time accepting that sometimes, that we are actually wrong and God is right in things. Repentance is a recognition that by faith I trust God with the very cleansing of my sins. Repentance is the recognition that Jesus is why I receive that cleansing. But Peter went further. He also said salvation is revealed by baptism. Peter didn't say that baptism would save them. The New Testament is clear that baptism is a command of Jesus for us to follow after salvation occurs, to reveal to other people what have taken place within our lives. It's why we don't baptize infants, because it's the wrong order. Scripture is very, very clear. You accept Christ first, then you are baptized. Because it reveals what's taken place within our hearts and lives. Salvation is a personal decision. There is no one who can make that decision for you. Your spouse cannot make that decision for you. Your parents cannot make that decision for you. Your children cannot make it for you. Your friends cannot make it for you. I cannot make it for you. No one can. It's a personal decision on your own. Baptism then is a personal way afterward to reveal what took place in your life, as it pictures the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that He is now alive within you. We're going to have a baptism coming up soon. We're still trying to work out the date on it. We have a couple people now waiting to be baptized, and there may be others. And I want to encourage you this morning. One, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have never made the decision to follow Him as Lord and Savior, to do that and to tell us about that, and then come and join us in this time of baptism together as we celebrate what took place in your life. But I also want to encourage those who have already accepted Christ and you have not gone through the waters of baptism after you have accepted Christ, and to come and be a part of that also is such a joyous celebration together, to come and celebrate new birth through baptism. Well, also, salvation produces sins forgiveness. You cannot have a relationship with God unless your sins are cleansed. You cannot have an abundant life now, an eternal life to come, unless your sins are forgiven. Jesus, our salvation, paid for our sins, paid for your sins, paid for my sins by His death on the cross. And then last, salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit. As we talked 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit enters your life the moment Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. If the Holy Spirit is not within you, Scripture's clear, you're not saved. Because the Holy Spirit is your guarantee. The Holy Spirit is your seal of approval. The Holy Spirit is God's mark upon your life that you are cleansed and you are saved and you are God's. Scripture goes on to tell us here that Peter went on to say other things to the crowd that day, and he reminded them that they needed to be saved from that crooked generation. And listening earlier to Sam's poem, I think to myself, how many more twists and turns do we have in this crooked generation that we live in today? Our story concludes with around 3,000 people coming to Jesus Christ. 3,000 people. Can you imagine that baptism service? I mean, I think the most I've ever baptized in one shot was like 14, which is tiring enough, but can you imagine 3,000? In one day, the church grew from 120 to 3,120. Next week, we're going to see how the church handled such growth. They didn't have some gimmick program or some special beginning Christianity class, which that's all well and good, but it's not what they did. But that's for next week. Today, you must decide about the message from the Holy Spirit for your personal life. Have you depended upon Jesus Christ for salvation? He is God's one and only plan. That's offensive to the world, I know. And it seems to be more and more offensive as we're in this postmodern, post-Christian period that we're living in now, when Christianity is so looked down on. But offensive or not, you have to make a decision about Jesus. And that decision may be a negative one, but you've got to make a decision one way or another. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus' own message, it's not like the church made it up. Jesus' own message was exclusive and to some offensive. But this message of Jesus is 100% the way to God, and it's 100% truth. We're in the summer after Shavuot. We're in the time of Kayetz. We're in the time of harvest within the church life. But see, one day fall is going to come. One day fall is going to come and the church will be complete. And the harvest time will end. Don't miss the harvest time. Don't miss being part of the time of Kairos, because if you get to the fall, it's too late. The harvest time centers completely on following Jesus Christ. Are you part of God's harvest? Are you there? Are you part of His harvest? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the fall to come? The message from the Holy Spirit is clear, and it's now your decision. And that may be where you need to go today, is asking Christ in your heart and choose to follow Him, to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's other decisions. Maybe it's time to become official, make this your family here at Calvary Baptist officially, and become a part here. Maybe your membership is somewhere else. Or maybe there's just other prayer concerns upon your heart you need to take to God right now. Be open to His calling. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Pastor Mike and I will be up here in the front for those who would like to come and pray with us. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this message that You gave to Peter on that day through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know it had to be the power of the Holy Spirit, because it was just 50 days before that this man couldn't even stand up in front of a young girl and tell about Jesus. It took the strength of the Holy Spirit to do that. Lord, I pray that You would just speak to hearts right now. That, Lord, if there's someone here who has never made the choice to follow Jesus, that they will do that today. They will find the true cleansing of their sins, the relief from all that burden of what they have built up in life, and the freedom in Christ that we have. As we think about July 4th and freedom there, the ultimate freedom is freedom from our sin. Lord, I pray that You will guide this time and any other decisions that need to be made, that You will be glorified through them. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.